And thank you for that wonderful sound of the trumpet announcing our assembling today. Another great Sabbath day, and incidentally, following some of the major late summer feasts, the feasts of Yom Teruah, the blowing of trumpets, and the feast of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. I call it a feast. It's even though we don't eat or drink or anything for 24 hours, which is no significance, but spiritually, yes, it is. So we're thankful to Yahweh for giving us these opportunities to gather together as a congregation throughout the world here, and for all of his people, for his word, we give thee thanks, Hallel Yahweh. We must be very reverent in thy presence. We're in the presence of the King of Kings, who gave us these words of life right in the scriptures, all the scriptures, from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, Bereshit to Revelation, is thy separated word, and it's a very sublime and a sovereign word, the final word, as Michael Card once sang, the final word is in Yahweh. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. Some will stumble backwards because of it, and that we are to live by every word of Yahweh that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. And the subjects for today, my friends, will be conforming to the scripture and going all the way with Messiah. You've heard that expression before. I suppose Frank Sinatra did it, but we're really going literally by that concept of going all the way with Yahweh. In fact, some have given us the criticism about this thing here, and they say that we've just gone too far. We've gone into extremism by keeping the Sabbath day instead of the first day of the week, the venerable day of the sun, that we are extremists by worshiping Yahweh on his day, the memorial of creation, his feast day, his weekly feast day. I suppose there's 52 of them in a year. And the Christian radio stations, one where I worked 6 years, employed back in the 80s, we had a salesman who believed he was filled with the Spirit, because he said he spoke in tongues. But he was a silver-tongued salesman. It was the money was the bottom line, unfortunately. And he asked our manager, Bill, how far is Stefania going to go with this crazy extremist Jewish stuff being under the law, such as the growing of beards, the true name of the Father, scriptural feast days, not keeping pagan holidays, and eating whatever we desire, anything we see, we can eat it. And next he might, that Stefania might come in wearing white linen. I mean, how far is this going to go? Or our pastor, Bill Houston, of the Higher Ground and a Church of God, would have answered this way. First of all, the question, how far is he going to go? Bill would say, all the way. And it's just so wonderful. Listen to the program on Higher Ground that we have here, The Falling Away. Try to put that on our first page of YahwehYahweh.name. And I want to say shalom to you around the world. Perhaps in the eastern United States, you don't have the problems that we do here in the western, where it is spreading throughout the nation of America, but around the world, of this wishy-washy lukewarmness that everything was done away with. No more baptism, no more tithes, no more listening to stupid sermons, as they say. And and we can close our eyes or something, if that rhymes. But Brother Bill said, I want to go all the way. And he used the other name for Messiah. We use the name from the scriptures, Yahusha, and some say Yeshua. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 10, or Debarim, it should be called. Actually, Deuteronomy is a misnomer. But 10 verse 12, let's turn over here. And Yahweh is speaking. And he speaks through directly, and he speaks through his servant, Moses. Moses, the servant, who is not the king of all kings or something like that. Moses was not that. He was the humble servant of Yahweh, as we read about him in the book of the Revelation. Devarim 10:12. And now, Yisrael, what does Yahweh thy Elohim, or Yah, require of thee, but to fear Yahweh thy Yah, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him. Yes, there was love in the Old Testament times. And to serve Yahweh thy Yah with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And then in it's called Joshua, but I'm going to call it Yasha, chapter 22. This is in verse 5. As you flip over there, or flip your telephone over to Yasha 22:5, and that's right after this Deuteronomy book, or Devarim book. To love Yahweh your Yah, and to walk in all his ways. Verse 5 there, ma'am. Walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your spirit. Praise Yah, with all your strength as well, or soul, all your soul and strength. And then back to Devarim, chapter 12, verse 8. That's in the 12th chapter of commonly called Deuteronomy. But the words that were spoken, I think, is what Devarim actually means. You shall not do after all the things that we see here and do here this day. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. Have you ever had that where the preacher or someone would tell you to hear from Yahweh, not just the word of Yahweh, but you're supposed to hear a voice? And we had a friend who, he was always seeming to hear voices that were supposed to be the Almighty, the Eternal, talking to him, giving him instructions. One friend said that he told me to how to play my rock and roll on my internet radio station. And all kinds of contradictory to the scripture things. But many times we follow the tradition of men when we know it is sinful. These people were probably ignorant, but many know it is sinful. Or maybe he knew in a way that it was sinful, such practices, and not scriptural. So now we did read Devarim 10:12, but I think I'm going to read it again here. And to repeat, and now Israel, what does Yahweh, thy Elohim, require of thee but to fear Yahweh? Oh, that the people say you're not supposed to have any fear any longer. But Psalm 19 says the fear of Yahweh is very, righteous altogether or something, but the fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever perhaps. But to fear Yahweh, thy Yahweh, to walk in all his ways, and to love him and to serve Yahweh, thy Elohim, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And the next chapter here, turn over to chapter 11, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love Yahweh, your Elohim, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And then skipping about 9 verses to verse 22 here in the 11th chapter. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, and that, the attitude, like Brother Bill said, all the way, you know, with all your might and with all your spirit and everything. If you shall diligently keep, which I command you, to do them, to love Yahweh, your Yah, and to walk in his ways and to cleave unto him, and that thou mayest love Yahweh. So this is now going to over here to chapter 30, as we hear the pages turn and crinkle there a little bit, that thou mayest love Yahweh thy Yah. This is, verse 20 in the 30th chapter. Thou mayest love Yahweh, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell, or tabernacle, in the land which Yahweh sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Yitzhak, or Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. And we read from Yasha, but let's go back, again, to the book of Yasha. And this time it's in chapter 22 there. If you don't mind, turn to 22, or I can just read it for you. And we're going to use the separated names. If it said Lord, that's definitely wrong. And in fact, that's a derogatory term, if you'd study up on that. But we're going to use Yahweh, because that's in the original, or the copies of the original manuscripts. Back in the underlying Hebrew scripture, somebody said, a very respectable preacher from Missouri, I can't believe that he said that we don't need all the Hebrew and the Greek to go back and read it. Well, and he said the King James Version is perfect. Well, it's better than most, than 99% of the other versions, but unfortunately and sadly and disrespectfully, they changed Yahweh to L-O-R-D, or one version, the Tree of Life, uses Adonai, which is not right either, except for where it's clearly from the underlying text. Well, anyway, I'm sorry to go on there. Yasha 22, verse 5 then, back here to verse 5. And Yahweh says, but take diligent heed to do the commandments and the Torah, or law in English, which Moses, the servant of Yahweh, charged you to love Yahweh, your Yah, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's Yasha 22:5. And what a favorite one that I, at one time at a camp I was staying at, everybody went down to Eugene to hear a church that didn't have, they might have had 80% right there. But I just stayed there with my wife, and we studied, and I looked up this word covenant. And it had the nuance there of commandments, statutes, and judgments. And many, many of the cases where you look up the word covenant in your dictionary or concordance is better, 14th verse of that famous 91st chapter of Tehillim. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Because David has set his love upon me, therefore I, Yahweh, will deliver him. I will set him on high, that is David, the king, because he has known my name. Now people say, well, that the name is really of no consequence. We can call him just about anything that through tradition and the general consensus of the religious world. There's nothing wrong with that word religious, means worship. And 1 Corinthians is our next place we're going to go to, 1 and 2 Corinthians. If it says C-O, it means Corinthians. They couldn't put one more letter in there, Cor, to make Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now in your scriptures in the New Testament, Brit Kadashah. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which Yahweh has prepared for them that love him. Wow, what a promise. We haven't heard, we haven't seen, and it's not even entered into our heart what Yahweh has prepared for us. He said, in my kingdom there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go away to prepare a place for you. That's John 14:6. Okay, now the next book here by Paul or Shaul is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. And Yehoshua is speaking again, as he this verse is probably found in the Tanakh. For I am jealous over you with sincere jealousy, Now, jealousy is a good thing. Envy is the sinful thing. I am jealous over you with sincere jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I might present you individually, as well as corporately, the assembly, I'll present you as a chaste virgin to Messiah. I am jealous, or sincere jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband, that the husband is Messiah, or if you will, if you won't go with Messiah, it's Yahweh, Y-H-V-H, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, from the Hebrew. And could Hebrew be such a terrible thing, and yet to the elevating of other languages, such as Japanese or Hispanic, is Hebrew so bad, you know, that they can't even agree that the scriptures were originally written in Hebrew, praise Yahweh, and that it's very dogmatic, that there are some gray areas, but very few, but they're black and white. You know, but some areas, of course, we have to read all the scriptures that have to do with that particular subject and then come up with the correct idea about it. In Kefa chapter 4, that is in Peter 4:18, as I hear pages flipping out there in the audience, if the righteous scarcely be saved. What? Scarcely? No, once saved, always saved, correct? No. There's always a condition there about Yahweh's love, if we read that. It's the word if. The preposition means if. It means a whole lot. There is a condition to most things. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the unloving and the sinner appear? Or let's read Romans. Back to Romans, after the book of Acts and the King James, Romans, Romanos chapter 10, verse 4, for Messiah is the end of the law. Oh, that solves it all then. No more law, correct? If you read the context of that entire 10th chapter, it just seemed to mean that, you could read it sometime. You might struggle with it, it doesn't mean that the law is ended. The word end there is telos. I think it was the Greek word telos, which can be interpreted many ways. But the goal of the law, or the purpose of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Yehoshua Messiah is the end of the law, or the goal or purpose for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moshe described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall walk in them and live by them. Thank you, Brad Grumman, for singing a song about that part there, Romans 10:5. The person which doeth these things shall live by them, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Messiah down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Messiah again from the dead. You know, he was in the grave 3 nights and 3 days, so he rose. He resurrected from the grave on that 17th day of that month of Aviv, the first month. But saith, the word is nigh thee, or what saith thee? The word, that's cover to cover again, all of it. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. For by unmerited favor, or can, are you saved, and that not of yourselves is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah, unto good works, that is, the keeping of his commandments, statutes, and judgments. That is consistent with the rest of the word. Works could mean something else, like miracles or doing favors, but generally, that term refers, if you read the book of the Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, the works there, except for in one case, the works were evil works. And also in Galatians, people have some evil works that they are discredited for. But we went through that on the program about works. But good works are generally defined as the keeping of his commandments, statutes, and judgments in his covenant. You are a covenant keeper down there in South Africa. Thank you, my brother. DeWalt Yah, I remember him. I haven't heard from years, but I know my brethren in the assemblies there in southern Africa. Praise Yah. Also lift up those in Kenya and especially in, Nigeria that we're supporting there. Cattle on a Thousand Hills, Ignite 633 Ministries. They're not messianic, but they're doing a good work. They're helping thousands of people. The IDP camps in Nigeria, in Benue State. So, shalom to you too. Marcus chapter 12, verse 33, and the conjunction, to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the spirit and with all the strength or soul, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Just as, I think it's 2 Samuel 7:14 or something like that, I hear the bleeding of lambs and things, but to obey him is better than sacrifice, and more than the offering, the sacrificial law, the law that was our schoolmaster of sacrificing animals, replaced and fulfilled and completed by Yahushua, Messiah himself, by Yahweh. Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 6, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Yah is one Yahweh. And thou shalt love Yahweh thy Yah with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Marcus 12. No, wait a minute, we already did Marcus 12. To love your neighbor as yourself, and to love Yahweh with all your heart, understanding, soul, and strength. So we just read the Shema. It's called that, the whole Shema. Actually, the whole Shema would be the entirety of Yahweh's loving Torah, the instructions in righteousness and how to walk our economy. Not a cultural thing, not a cultural heredity alone, by a Jewish heredity or something, but walking in the Spirit by Yahweh's specific instructions, the instructions of Yahweh. And we are following a very, very, very powerful king, the king of the universe. So let us not take that lightly or anything, or not diligently. Let's take it with very seriously. That we are in the presence of the king, we should even dress before him when we are coming before him in his throne room every day in the war room to pray, to sacrifice from the bowl of our lips, to lift him up, oh yes, by the Spirit, and to trust and to walk in the word of Yahweh, and conform to his word as well. And are you ready? Coming up next now on this program will be conforming to the word of Yahweh the Father, and Hebrews 5:14, strong meat. We're going to have some strong meat here next, not just the milk. I love the milk of the word, but I love the meat even more, I guess. I don't know. Well, we're going to the feast soon, so we have to depart in a couple of days and do some preparation. So that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time of obeying and praising and enjoying the blessings that some call a curse, some call bondage. But we're going to be, it'll be bondage. We'll be sitting around to the Feast of Tabernacles, eating and drinking, as mentioned in Colossians chapter 2, and hearing long messages, maybe, or a few short sermonettes and specials and music. And oh, it's such bondage, I tell you. Don't go there. It's the Feast of... Oh, that's absurd. Of course we're going to go there and keep the Feast of Tabernacles with you. To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to his word, there is no light in them. That's Yeshayahu 8:19, or Isaiah 8. Now, just a moment here while I switch not the microphones, but I'll be back. Shalom. So we move on now to higher heights and into deeper depths with Yahweh. And such a powerful message going all the way with Yahweh and conforming now to His Word. Also, we hope we'll have the program Know Your Enemy. Yes, Know Your Enemy, not the enemy from a past war, but the enemy for the future war of Armageddon, I guess. Know your enemy and who your present enemy is. It's not really a woman or a man. It is the one who stands behind that evil person. That's HaSatan. And he's going to, and having people take that mark of the beast, the religious mark of the beast, not some kind of a changeable electronic code of some kind, but it'll be a spiritual thing, as the scripture points out. So here we go now, hopefully. Hebrews, Hebrews 5. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Also, even those by reason of using the scriptures and studying the scriptures word upon word and paralleling in harmony of the word. Here a little, then there a little. In studying, it's better to first pray about it, then ascertain your needs, then read selected passages to be meditated on. Don't just go by some computerized calendar or some so-called rabbi. Maybe it is a good rabbi, but who knows the word. But anyway, it'd be better to ascertain what, or to determine which needs are to be addressed right now, rather than to just go by, going from Genesis to the end of the book. Let's go by what we really need right now, and not just what I think I need or what others think we need, but start out by studying the book of Isaiah, for example, Yeshayahu Isaiah. It'd be perfect for the Feast of Tabernacles that's upon us. The books following Isaiah are even, he's strong, but these are even more stronger. Yes, they are strong. We believe that Isaiah is true for us today, as it was then. Thousands of years ago, Isaiah 8, to the law and to the testimony. If they don't speak according to his word, there isn't any light in them. Please take time to consider these scriptures with nobility. As he pointed out in the book of Acts, the Bereans searched the so-called Old Testament, including the Torah. They searched those words of life. That's all they had to go by in those days. They didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John yet at that time in printed form. But they searched the scriptures, the Old Testament. It was so-called here today. And not the popular versions necessarily, but the word of Yahweh, as correctly translated. Many believers don't rely on tradition, and they are spirit-minded. There are many elders and believers who understand the scripture, and they generally let the scripture interpret itself, that is, to read another like scripture. Don't just go by one and take that out of the context of the scripture, but by interpreting all of scripture, all the particular scriptures or verses that have to do with that particular subject. And not by first considering the culture of the book that it is addressed to. For example, Colossians, you're missing out. If it's only written to the Colossians, if the Galatianists are only written to them, then it doesn't apply to us at all. So I don't go by a cultural thing or nationalities. I'm going by that word of Yahweh that was inspired even through Paul and Kepha, Peter, and Yochanan and all. Remember, all the scripture is written for us. As we study Torah, beware of that practice of higher criticism. They always say the five W's: who, what, where, when, and why. Who was he speaking to? He was speaking to you. This might eliminate all of us if we went by the cultural way of interpreting Scripture. The Colossians is for the Colossians. Romans is for only Catholics and Romans. But no, here are two Scripture rules. Isaiah 28, study line upon line. And then Matthew 4:4, live by every word of Yahweh. The other one was Isaiah 28, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And there's other scriptures here we'll get to. In answer to the motto of the law is Jewish, that untruth motto, the law is Jewish, we're brethren and sistern, all we have to do with is from Yahweh. And it is Jewish. Salvation is of the Jews. That's a quote from Messiah. I think it's 4:24 of Matthew. Or salvation is of the Jews. It's in there. So if the heart is hard enough to be like those of the of those sages of the Middle Ages, who were totally anti-Jewish, anti-Scripture, anti-Yahweh, if my heart is hard enough, I must also turn down that offer of that salvation of the Jews, the Jewish salvation in the Jewish Messiah and the Jewish word, the Jewish Torah. Yes, and the Jewish covenant. That is, there's only one covenant between Yahweh and man currently, and it's the new covenant, Hebrews 8:10 and Jeremiah 31, and being grafted in into the good olive tree, and Romanos, that's Romans 11. You must be grafted in to Messiah, the olive tree. And that's more than just the person of Messiah. That is the understanding of the law and the prophets, all the prophecy and promises and curses and blessings in the Word. Be grafted in to Yahweh and into Yisrael. Israel means Yehoshua, Messiah. Some Christian radio speakers deliberately confound the serious, sincere scholar. And they say things like, the law was done away with. You know, some of those false sages might spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's what the word says. Read the last chapter. Let us be careful to not be like Christian radio, pop Christian radio. They push the sinful theory that disobedience pays. What? Disobedience pays, huh? No. Speaking with my wife, who was from Mississippi, and went to a lot of churches, Pentecostal included, the old time churches, boy, they would, if you told them that disobedience pays, I think that you'd probably get thrown out the window or something in there. Maybe they'd be gracious enough and not do it. Check out the many scriptures that proper obedience brings blessings, and you might just turn off that pop Christian radio program. There might be some good things in there, but it's like fellowshipping, compromising a mixture of good and evil, and with other religions, other worldly religions, even some of those brothers and the Jehovah's Witness. It is quite worldly at times. What is the goal, you know, to live life and abundantly by just sitting back in our laurels and enjoying life and drinking? And no. Or is it being a fanatic? Well, having a fan in their attic, maybe, but no. We have the love and the spirit of Yahweh when we are going to read His Word. And what are we going to do? We're going to go all the way with that stuff, as they claim. Well, I really oppose this vehemently. I'm really against this stupid idea that disobedience pays and that we can't please Yahweh. Romans 8. So then that they are in the flesh cannot please Yahweh. Well, okay, they're correct. You can't please Him if you're in the flesh. Yahweh the Father. YHVH, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. The Father has provided blessings here for you at this feast, at Pesach, at Shavuot, 50 days from the true wave sheaf offering, and Sukkot, tabernacles, And not to forget, of course, Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur, and that last great day, Shemini Atzeret. Oh, that is such a blessing, that last great day. I just can't wait to get to that part of the feast either. The only thing I don't like about it, about that last great day, is it's the last great day of the feast. And then we return to not the reality of spiritual things, but of day-to-day priorities. And well, no priorities, are they? Well, I hope they would be, but everyday duties is good, you know. But some of these things that come out of thin air to us that are really trying to weigh us down over nothing, you know, that there's a lion in the street, there's a fire, there's a virus out there, I can't go outside, I can't go to church, I can't go to work, I can't go for a walk outside because there's diseases out there. Close the window right now. Don't ever open it again. There's too many diseases, they say. There's too many lions in the street. You know, famous Christian radio speakers going out of their way to nullify Yahweh's word, and feast days are literally going to have their behinds and more punished. They deliberately confuse listeners that the law was done away with. But according to the word, to the book of the Revelation, prophecy and eschatology, but those who speak against it may spend eternity in the lake of fire. It says, behold, I am Aleph and Tav, or in Greek, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. You can also find that same caption there, the tree of life, or the tree of life is found, I think it's the 88th Psalm, if I'm correct. And I have just seen it recently. Yes, I did. And so daughters and sons of good parents, I wanted to talk to you now with some more strong meat here. Listen to these injunctions from Exodus chapter 23. That's right within the Ten Commandments. These are called judgments or privileges. You can interpret it several different ways. Exodus 23, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. So a multitude might even be a gathering in a church atmosphere. Don't follow a multitude to have Sunday morning communion and deny Passover, to take the elements of the symbolic bread and wine that symbolizes Yahweh's body and blood, Yahusha's body and blood. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Yes, that's what some of Christian radio is doing. I'm not putting down all the speakers on radio stations. Then in verse 7, keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not. For I will not justify the wicked. Exodus, Shemot 23:7. That's such a warning. He says, I will not justify the wicked. So don't be part of them that go out and they kind of, I'd call it, look the other way. They don't really want to be accountable. And let's just all follow the same lie together. Maybe if we all are guilty, then Yahweh can't send us all to hell, could he? Now let us not follow the crowd to deal treacherously with the weak, the destitute, the downhearted, and some homeless precious people out there. Some are homeless just because the stupid rent, the realtors have raised. Yeah, okay, we won't get into that, but we don't want to cry about everything forever, about the OPEC prices and the price of the bullet and the price of tea in China. But we're ready for more strong meat than that. So Exodus 23:7, don't follow the crowd. I think that's in the same chapter and everything, to deal treacherously with the destitute. And Jeremiah 12:7. Chapter 12, verse 7. I have forsaken my house. I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. the Almighty is speaking here, you know. And then the verse before that, I think, for even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. They have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. Now skipping four verses. Many pastors, not all, but many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Shame upon them. Verse 10? No, that was 10. They have made it desolate in verse 11. They have made it desolate, in other words, so wiped away all the truth and all the foundations, the scriptural foundations. Or maybe you had a good church 50 years ago, but that same denomination now has joined the ecumenical movement or focused upon personalities and high-intensity rock and stuff like that. So they've made it desolate, and they've, you know, Yahweh said, I will make it desolate. I will come and thoroughly purge my threshing floor. The sickle is in his hand. That's found in, I think, the third chapter of Matthew. And being desolate, it mourneth me. The whole land is made desolate because no man lays it to heart. Then, okay, that was Jeremiah. Then to Tehillim again, 106, that's 106 Psalm, verse 38. And they shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And in our case, the idols of the current government. And the land was polluted with blood. But hopefully we're reversing that Roe versus Wade thing. For those of us who are not so ignorant, if we've seen a child in the womb through the vibrations of the modern electronic equipment, we can tell there's a person in there. Okay, but many times we follow the tradition of men when we know it is sinful and not scriptural. I said before, wicked leaders think of ingenious new ways to persuade men and insult the righteous with their crafty tools and fables and lies, which seem to be logical at times. It seems to be logical. It seems like, boy, I don't know if I could win an argument with these devils. They're so crafty. They have a, you know, they can link up with others on the internet and very intelligent people. But Satan is not as powerful as Yahweh by any means and by any stretch of the imagination or by any private speculation. No, that Yahweh is in control, and he says in chapter 13 of Lucas that I, behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning, and I give thee power over, you know, to move mountains, but also to cast out demons. And to deal with these evil forces of the underworld, maybe referring to the Masons at this current time, and Knights of Columbus. The forces of the underworld that have control of the world. Yes, the realtors have control of our rent prices and land prices, huh, when we're selling a home or something. Then they want to sell the house for twice as much. Good old inflation, good old American inflation. What about that old dollar, huh? Old dollar, she fell off the wall like that Humpty Dumpty. So Jeroboam, though, is the first to have wanted to change the feast days, for example, this Feast of Tabernacles, to a different time. And in his case, he liked to make it a month later, and it might correspond to Halloween or something. In 1 Kings 11, this man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, this is 11, verse 28, 1 Kings. Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. Solomon thought, we got quite the guy here. He can speak out of both sides of his mouth. He's so eloquent, that nice white hair, so handsome. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again the lowest of the people priests of the high places. So just anyone can be a leader these days and get up on what is not the altar anymore, but get up on the stage. If you can play a guitar, wear some earrings, and you're a, you know, then you're really cool. But so this is what Jeroboam did. Just anybody could be a leader in church. They didn't have to be spirit-filled or single in their, you know, first wife. So whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And Amos talked about this in chapter 7 of the book of Amos, which is in so-called Minor Prophets before the New Testament. Amos, for thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Now, there are several Jeroboams, I know that. Tradition is sometimes the evil way that conspires on Yahweh's word and on his people. It conspires to do away with Yahweh's word regarding the feast days, the Torah, and namely, Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles. Messiah himself said, who is the author of the scriptures, he spoke face to face with Adam and Moses and different leaders through time. Mark 7:7, Messiah said, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In vain they do worship me. Yes, they worship me, but teaching man's ordinances, man's dogma, church laws. Don't smoke, don't drink, don't chew gum, and don't go with those that do, or something. And links at the bottom of our page on this this article called Conforming to the Scriptures here on our website. Click on those links at the bottom. They might be good. For example, see if I can get back here. On our website, Hebrew Scripture Idioms might be a good one. And also the program Apologies. Okay. So, let's see. A lot of false judgment. And Acts 10, Yahweh has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Not that we can just eat any old thing that we see. Some of those Christian speakers do despite to the word of Yahweh by promoting the abomination, eating swine's flesh. Kepha, here in chapter 10 of Acts, Maasa, never did eat a midnight snack. Messiah did not teach against his own law, that whatever comes out of the draft and so on, or that you can bless anything and then eat it, even if it's an abomination. That is a contradiction. And in that logical line of thinking, if it's okay to change that law, that was an abomination to eat swine flesh or seafood as opposed to real fish, then any moral law could also be changed in the scripture. That's why we have such immorality these days. Sexual immorality is, if you can change one standard of Yahweh, then why not change it all? Learn not the way of the heathen regarding pagan ways, Jeremiah 10, and a whole lot of false judgment over there, even as they claim that we're not allowed to judge while they are judging you for judging. Don't judge, but Messiah said, judge righteous judgment. And also that there is the excommunication factor in Paul's letters. So that's involves that we need to judge as well. In John 7:24, judge righteous judgment. Do not be a hypocrite. If you want to share a scripture to admonish or encourage somebody, we can't use a scripture to our own advantage, to somebody else's disadvantage, just to try to get the upper hand. If I made that clear. If I didn't, well, just let it go. Okay. Okay, Matthew 7 now. Matityahu chapter 7, verse 5. Messiah said, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye." Paul said in Corinthians 6:1, "Dare any of you have a matter against another to go to law before the unjust and not before the saints?" When somebody comes to me and falsely accuses me of something like stealing, then I will take him to his pastor or to his body of elders at his church, and we'll just see what they judge, whether it is not a matter of theft at all. That I'm not guilty of that. That's ridiculous. Why would I knowingly steal something and then report it to the one that I stole it from? And say, "Hey, I just stole your wife's ring or something." Honestly, that's there's just no discernment today and accountability really in Yahweh. And it's okay to just do. Anything is okay. Anything goes, they say. Whatever feels good, do it, unless you're an old person, and then whatever doesn't feel good, do it. That's when we get old. See, that's a joke. "Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" 1 Corinthians 6. And back in the Old Testament here, in the so-called Minor Prophets, Malachi chapter 4, this law: "Remember the law of Moses my servant," which is also called the law of Yahweh. "Remember you the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments." This law, not the added sacrificial temple laws, but the law including the Sabbath, is our moral compass. If you don't like the word moral, then it's our compass. As we agree with the word, Romans 7, that the Torah is spiritual, and Psalm 19, the law is spiritual. And Romans 8, 7 as well, that's chapter 8, the 7th verse, remember the one that we walk not in the flesh, but after the Spirit, there therefore is no condemnation for those who don't walk in the flesh. Romans 8, 7, "The carnal mind is against the law of Yahweh. It is not subject to his law, neither indeed can be." So far, we're getting all together about 1 hour into the podcast, and I'd like you to get in touch with me if this is going to be a problem. We don't want to go too long. But, to finish up then. "Plead the cause of the innocent. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." Especially those in the body of Messiah, I would add. And then Deuteronomy 22, such awesome power and such awesome privilege, and what awesome the word of Yahweh, which is Messiah. How awesome is his creation as well, and his love, that we should be called the sons of Yahweh, and Yahweh should not we keep the tokens of our virginity, because he has given us so much. The tokens of our virginity. Deuteronomy 22. Then in Colossians, I referred to about the feast days, chapter 2. 2:16, it could more likely be addressed to the believers who are keeping Torah. And the words about eating and drinking, those are verbs, not nouns. The verbs eating and drinking are posis and brosis in Greek. "And during his feasts, we're not to be judged by people who know not the truth or the spirit of the word of Yahweh, but by those who do walk in the Spirit and who are filled with the Spirit and who are equipped to ascertain right and wrong according to the word." The sacrificial law, that law that seems to be spoken in a derogatory manner, the sacrificial law was our schoolmaster, a hard taskmaster to bring us to Messiah. You don't want to be under the law again and be guilty and incur the death penalty, spiritual death. The Ruach HaKadosh signifies that the way to the purest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing. And all symbolic passage here referring to Messiah in Hebrews chapter 9, which the first tabernacle was yet standing, a figure of the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Messiah, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once. The Messiah entered in once, 2,000 years ago, into the pure place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Not for everybody, but for those his faithful children. The separated name of Yahweh, his commandments, and including the good works, even in the New Testament, 1,050 commands, the New Covenant, not a Gentile covenant, and the kosher laws are not only for the cultural Jewish people, but or Yehuda, but also for all that have been grafted into Yahweh, all strangers of Israel. And so Yahusha Messiah dwells in Jerusalem, but also in the hearts of his true elected believers, pastors, and speakers. And in view of their false philosophy coming out of the seminaries and religious radio stations, the criticism here of the law and the commandment, and criticizing abiding believers, and they concoct deceiving messages that, if possible, could confuse the elect. So maybe it's just better to stay away from them. And they might be able to pull the wool over our eyes, but in the end, Yahweh will know their wicked thoughts and plots, and they are messing with the creator of the universe. Yes, what a very scary place to be. So I have to agree in part with those who are tired of the filthy politicians, the sneaky and tricky and demonic ones. By voting for wicked leaders, it won't solve the problem. Or somebody who says, well, I'm less wicked than Brand X, than this politician over here. That's not going to solve the problem, although it might make a little bit of difference to vote for the better person. But we can pray for them and come out of the bleachers of the ballpark, as it were, and come on down to the battlefield and do warfare. Pray in the name of Yahusha and cast out those evil demons out of your community, out of your all of your domain. Pray to Yahweh the Father and the Son to cast treacherous demons out and all of their dogma, and cast those demons out into the sea. And that plead the blood of Messiah. The blood is, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Without the blood, there's no power. Pray the blood of Messiah will cover our land and all who trust in him, in Yahweh. There's power in the true and only name of the Father, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, sometimes called the Tetragrammaton. Devarim 18 now, verse 14. Here, as we wrap up this program, and going all the way with Yahweh, and to conform to his word, in Devarim 18. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, Yahweh, the Creator Most High, has not suffered thee to do so. So then he says, come out from among them and touch not the unclean. And then I can't remember the rest of it, but it's very important. Touch not the unclean and I will dwell with you, or something like that, I guess. The Torah was not done away with at Calvary. WWDD, what would the devil do? You can imagine the devil tempting us, saying, no, like the world thinks, that the church thinks that by keeping the commandments is a sin. It's legalistic. Legalism, they cry. being under the law. Snicker, snicker. Now, follow those messianics, those Torah observant Jews. Well, yes, we should follow Yahweh's word. The messianics and the Jews could be off here a little bit and there a little bit. But we wouldn't hear the devil say, observe the mitzvah of clean and unclean and do not eat pork. No, the devil would say, do it. Whatever feels good, do it. Whatever the consensus is. Pork and beans, bacon and eggs, escargot, pork, or any unclean animal. And he wouldn't, the devil wouldn't tell us, follow the law. Keep the feast days. Keep Sukkot. No, he's not going to agree with that or with any of the covenant, new covenant, old covenant scriptures. Just what is wrong with that? You know, we've read the Shema here earlier, and we hear the opposition from the pulpits and many radio programs against Yahweh's word, the Torah, or even against baptism. Satan says the opposite of those quotes I gave earlier. And Yahweh says, now these are the commandments, the statutes and judgments, which Yahweh your maker commanded you to teach you that you might do them in the land where you go to possess. We'll be praise Yahweh when he will cast out Satan for 1,000 years as the priest cast out the Azazel goat, the escape goat, into the desert. And Satan, who tried to inspire people to break the law and to teach that it was done away with. The scripture says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. No, it won't cause others to stumble as we preach the truth. Thank you very much for bearing with us today, and for that I could be a part of your gathering today, or your convocation, your feast day perhaps, and we'll join you again here on YahwehNotYahweh.com. I am Stephan Yah. Shalom. Have a great feast. Talking about going all with Yahweh. I wanted to play a portion of Brother Bill for you. I'll see if I can duck him in. So if you hear another voice, it's Brother Bill Houston, the late pastor from the Church of God Seventh-day Pentecostal.
It was undoubtedly a rapturous experience for them, but their deliverance was not by means of a translation. God was with them there, and he was their deliverer. And he delivered them because they were uncompromisingly faithful to him. They kept his word. Therefore, he was justified to keep them from the fire. It's no secret that the same one who delivered Daniel and who delivered the three faithful Hebrews is able to deliver those who are faithful to him in these last days. But remember, the deliverance is not to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil. Now, it is evident that if there is to come upon the whole world a time of horrible trial, with God's people remaining here and being kept from it, supernatural means must be provided to implement such a deliverance. This is plainly implied by the words, I will keep thee from. God's intervention must be brought forth in order to effect such preservation in the face of the awful conditions which are described in the Scriptures. And let us not imagine that such a thing is impossible with God, my friends, for with God all things are possible. We need to remind ourselves of Daniel in the lion's den and the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. We also need to remember how the Lord fed, watered, and clothed ancient Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their shoes grow thin. 6 days each week, manna fell from heaven to feed them. On the Sabbath, there was no manna. Another example of the great power of God. He brought forth water out of the rock or out of granite. He purified water by having a tree cast into it. Again and again, he showed himself mighty to save and strong to deliver. We note with much interest the woman of Revelation 12, who goes into the wilderness where she's preserved for 3.5 years from the face of the serpent or Satan. There in the wilderness she's fed, nourished, and protected. Also Isaiah prophesied of the last days with their time of heat, storm, and rain, Isaiah 4, 5, and 6, speaking of Mount Zion, the true Israel of God. He says, there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. Oh, my friends, it's exciting that God intends to make this provision. There's no question how he will bring about. He does not reveal, but he will, my friends. But for the promise is sure, it is true, it is from everlasting. Hallelujah.